Kenner stopped in the middle of the river. Something was wrong. Until now, he had seen signs of previous runners in the stream, bits of mud on rocks, wet finger marks or shoe prints, or disturbed algae. But for the last few minutes, nothing. The others had left the stream. He'd missed where. Morton would make sure of that, he thought. Morton would know a good place to leave the river where their exit wouldn't be noticed, probably somewhere with ferns and swampy, marshy grass between boulders on riverbanks, grass that would be spongy underfoot and would spring back at once. Kenner had missed it. He turned around and headed upstream, moving slowly. He knew that if he didn't find their tracks, he couldn't leave the river. He would be sure to get lost. And if he stayed in the river too long, the kids would find him, and they'd kill him. Resolution. Thursday, October 14th, 4:02 p.m. There was 1 hour left now. Morton crouched among the mangroves and rocks near the center of Resolution Bay. The others were clustered around him. The water lapped softly against the sand a few feet away.
"This is what I know," he said, speaking low. "The submarine tender is hidden under a camouflage tarp at the east end of the bay. You can't see it from here. They have been sending the submarine down every day for a week. The sub has limited battery power, so it can stay at depth for only an hour at a time. But it seems pretty clear they are placing a kind of cone-shaped explosive that depends on accurately timed detonation."
"They had them in Antarctica," Sarah said.
"All right, then you know. Here they're intended to trigger an underwater avalanche. Judging how long the sub stays down, I figure they are placing them at about the 90-meter level, which happens to be the most efficient level for tsunami-causing avalanches."
"What about the tents up here?" Evan said.
"It seems they're taking no chances. Either they don't have enough cone explosives, or they don't trust them to do the job, because they have placed something called hypersonic cavitation generators in the tents. They're big pieces of equipment about the size of a small truck. Diesel-powered, make a lot of noise when they fire them up to test them, which they've been doing for days. They moved the tents several times, just a foot or two each time, so I assume there's some critical issue about placement. Maybe they're focusing the beams or whatever it is those things generate. I'm not entirely clear about what they do, but apparently they're important for creating the landslide."
Sarah said, "And what do we do?"
"There's no way we can stop them," Morton said. "We are only 4, 5 if Kenner makes it, which he doesn't seem to be doing. There are 13 of them, 7 on the ship and 6 on shore, all armed with automatic weapons."
"But we have Sanjung," Evan said. "Don't forget him."
"The Nepali guy? I'm sure the rebels got him. There were gunshots about an hour ago along the ridge where they first found you. I was a few yards below just before they picked you up. I tried to signal you by coughing, but..." He shrugged, turned back to the beach. "Anyway, assuming the 3 cavitation generators are meant to work together to create some effect on the underwater slope, I figure our best chance is to take one of the generators out, or maybe 2 of them. That would disrupt their plan or at least weaken the effect."